prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Good afternoon, good morning to all the beings floating about in the airwaves, gliding on the stratosphere, zooming about on the surface and underground, genders of all possibilities, and everybody else who I haven't included in all that. Hello, welcome to Ever Beyond. This is Sunday, the 18th of November, 2012. We're just about approaching the galactic wave, and it's about a month away, and things have started to get a bit strange, and I don't know about everybody else here. Cool in the chat room. Please come to the chat room. I have one at Ever Beyond, everbeyond.info, that is, and I also have one in Wolf Spirit Radio at wolfspiritradio.com/something. Where is it? How about that for smooth? / Wolf Chat. That's right. That's at wolfspiritradio.com/wolf chat. Wolf Chat. Wolf Chat. Wolf, 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 wolf. Well, well, well. Hello, everybody. There is a call-in number that you can call in. You can use my Skype if you've got my Skype. It's the wolfspirit.switchboard will also get through to me, and also the Wolf Spirit switchboard number, which is 775-657-5973. And I'd like to invite callers. I was going to leave, you know, I like to have an open evening once in a while. It's sometimes the pressure of having a guest every week can be a little too much. You know, you have guest upon guest, and I never get the chance to have feedback from any of my listeners about how that guest was for them. Did you enjoy that? What kind of shows do you enjoy the best? So I'd like to add that to the mix of things that people can talk about when they call in. I do love to speak to people. It's much easier to speak to a person on the other end of the line who's kind of even just sitting there breathing. you don't feel so... It's a very weird thing to speak into a radio mic and know that there are people listening, but you can't hear what they're saying or thinking or doing or whatever they might be doing. So it's very nice to be speaking to you. I can see a few people there in the chat room. So so where do we start? What a week. I mean, for me, and I would see my own life as a kind of microcosm of what's going on in the world. And for me, it's been a week of trials, of worry, of, you know, I've had a lot of emotions. I'm not normally a kind of really emotional guy and feeling all this stuff, but this week it's kind of like the last straw. Now, I'm not a particularly emotional person, as I say. You know, I don't sort of blow up in emotions like a lot of people. But I was finding myself kind of nearing exploding point on that volatile level. I thought, this is very unlike the usual me. I very much noticed that I was kind of out of character this week. And it seems that everybody else was not so easy to get along with. I think it's like everybody's fed up with everything. I do believe, you know, we have been pushed and pushed and pushed by the powers that be, and we're reaching that breaking point now. How does that express in terms of the global revolution? Well, we'll see what's happening. Actually, I haven't had a chance to check yet, but there is a lot going on. There's some stuff going on in Gaza as well, which is really really intensely bad at the moment. And I, you know, what can we say to that? But there's no way we can change anything by politics. That's all a sham. We know that. And we know that a lot of it is connected with oil and domination and all of those other things. When we have the propaganda that is trying to push this, you know, it's all about the gold. It's all, you know, in the end, it's about having a market for the dollar, for the petrodollar, and it and trying to make the dollar survive. And it just seems a really like a far too over the top solution to what would be simple to just kind of scratch it and start again. That's really where we're I think a lot of the Middle East situation is at. Yeah, it is already November 2012. Yeah. So without getting into the nitty details of it, because that's where everybody gets lost. Because we see one faction attacking another, but we know that behind each faction is the same energy, and they're pitting us against each other. And so what it really seems to be is a battle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness, those self-styled forces of light and self-styled forces of darkness, what you might call angels and devils, or, you know, they're not humans. And they're using humans, both sides are using humans, to battle against each other. And both sides are preventing humans actually from evolving because of the strife that they've created. And, you know, part of what I'm on about is giving humans the opportunity to evolve and being able to step away from here. This is something that I've been wanting to. You know, we all want this. We all want humanity to evolve. We all want to become light beings and free from all this oppression. And there's all this, you know, there's talk about the. I mean, there's like these two different timelines. There's this the one where everything becomes a kind of dark global fascist state, and we're forever crushed by the jackboot of oppression, and then there's this other timeline, which is where everything goes. You know, we go into what they call a golden age, and the sun shines all the time, and we're all living together in a much greater harmony, possibly post catastrophe. I'm not entirely sure. Exactly how our timeline is doing, but you know, I think, you know, things are pretty catastrophic at the moment on this planet. We've got volcanoes, we've got solar flares, we've got global warming, we've got fissures, we've got sinkholes, we have all kinds of things, and then we've also got the fake alien invasion. So no wonder people are cracking up. I mean, really. Okay, all right. Just call me now. I have somebody here calling in, and she may have some messages. She's spoken to her guides, you got the golden ticket, best point in time and space. Yes. So I'd like to welcome to Ever Beyond. You're live on the air, Olivia. How are you doing, Olivia?
I'm doing good. Can you hold on a minute?
I can indeed. It's good to have you on. Olivia Valencia has been on my show previously and has had various postings on the Wolf Spirit Radio website. Very quiet little postings, just nice little blogs that come through from her guides, from higher being. And Olivia has had contact with various galactic councils, such as the Andromedan Council that Tolek, who was my guest last week, was involved in, and various other councils. She's had a full galactic education, and is currently in... Where are you? You're in Orange County, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Bless you.
At the moment, until I relocate.
Yes. Yeah, so there's all that stuff as well, you know, the get-out-of-dodge clause.
It's not going to be too bad over here. Being that when I go to the councils and stuff, a map was given to us, was shown locations that they've been doing... I don't know when that's
going to
happen.
Yeah, let's talk about that a second, because okay. just to get to for people to understand how this happens, on what is going on the planet. And the way I always talk about it is, I imagine, you know, if you dip a balloon, you know, just a plastic balloon into paint and allow the paint to dry, you know, you've inflated the little thing, and then you blow it up even further, the paint will start to crack and it'll form little islands. And
yes,
that's exactly how the Earth is formed, because the Earth is expanding from the inside due to the plasma ball inside it, which is what we call Gaia, the consciousness.
Yes.
And when you have a very large piece of this stuff, this paint, you know, because as far as, you know, as far as the size of the planet is concerned, the crust is about as thin as paint. You know,
yeah.
When the crust, when the globe upon which the crust is sitting expands, then the radius of the curvature is force. It forces the edges. Imagine a turtle shell, you know, because Turtle Island is like a turtle shell. It's a massive turtle shell, and if the turtle grew so big inside the shell, that the shell would crack and split as the pressure formed the forced the edges up, and the edges of the shell are pushed downwards, and that's why Florida and California are going to experience going down into the sea. It's because the shape of the plate is too narrow for the expanding Earth underneath it. Is that what they've been telling you?
Something like that. Yes, it's that they put it in different words for me.
Of course.
When I talk with them, it's a lot of it is symbols and sounds and some conversations, because there are other people here on this planet as well as the other ones around us that are communicating there in English or French or whichever. But when we're there, it all seems to sound the same language, you know? It's, everybody understands. And, yeah, and what you're saying is somewhat, yes, like that. And as you were talking, I'm sorry, JP, they were telling me to mention this. Because before I came on the air, they showed up like 25 minutes ago and asked me to remember JP. And I said, oh, okay.
Brilliant.
Oh, okay. So, are you going to be there to tell me what to do or what to say? And yeah. They're like, yeah. So, as you were talking, they were telling me to say it's enough of the blame. You all know this has happened before, and whether or not you remember that you choose to come here, you did. We all did. It has been tough, and it's really, I have to say, you know, I have to applaud for everybody. You know, this has been super hard.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, JP. This week has been actually wonderful for me. It's been resonating, but a couple of weeks ago, oh my God, it's like every hour I thought I was on menopause or something. And I went like, wait a minute, am I on menopause? I'm having a hot flash because I was like so moody 1 hour, and then I had to stop and think about it. I'd go outside and just do a little walk, 15-minute walk, and then I'd come back. And I would release it, and I went, okay, this is not me. It's these energies coming in. I go, help. I go, if I'm feeling and I'm extremely sensitive, I can imagine how the other humans are feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like the canary in the coal mine. You get the energies first because you're very highly connected on those levels. It's like, you know, the very, very fine grade of energy as it's coming down through the planes into more dense and dense and dense.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's why some people get it first, is they're more sensitive on that rarefied level. So, back to the Earth changes and the report that you were giving earlier. So, yes. do you want to continue that, and I'll stop interrupting you.
Okay. Thank you. I did. If you're somewhat awake or even know what's going on, you are working on the technology and not even aware of it, because we are part of that technology. And this change must take place. Yes, there's going to be some losses, and yes, there's going to be some gains, but everybody rebirths or goes someplace. It sounds painful because of the negative energies coming in, but then when you're balanced and understand, and the education and the knowledge, you know, you never die. And I've already told them, you know, if I'm to go, then I go with the crew. I go down with the ship with everybody else, because I already know I don't die. Just the body just vanishes and you're free.
Yeah, your nothing true to be self. Scared of.
Yeah.
So, I just need to recapitulate a little bit with you, because I just discovered... I'm so exhausted, I'm so sorry. It's been,
that's
as I said,
all right.
And you were just coming over my microphone earlier, so...
myself.
So it was my fault, and I'm sorry about that. You're all connected now, and everybody can hear you. She nice volume now, you say here. So, where were we? Yes, it's... you have a fan in the chat room. Is this the Olivia that came in in May? And if yes, Shazam.
Bless you, sweetheart.
There you go. So... one of the things that you said before, and this is so funny, because today was a day I didn't get back in time to take the stream, and they was worrying where I was and everything, and I finally got home eventually, and I had no guest, you know, and I thought, right, okay, so when I have no guest, I just open the mic, you know, open to the universe. So it's absolutely fascinating that you said your guide said da 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 da, because these are the moments when we reserve a bit of time for random. That's when the spirits can come into our lives, and I think
yes.
This is a very, very important like object lesson in trust and faith. And my God, we need some guidance right now.
Yes.
You know, the world is really, it's like we're going to hell in a handbasket unless we can do something. So there has to be things that we can do inside ourselves in order to reflect that outside. And so I'm going to hand it back to you and your people, because I'm sure they said something about that as well.
That's the last post that I put in there, actually came from them. They have put it in my mind, and I was trying to draw it out, but it looks so sloppy, and I went, I think I'm just going to use the tools, the graphics, for it could be perfect. And what they said is, actually what they showed me, because they talked to me in symbols. Mm. And by the way, who I was talking to, they gave me this post that I put on there as our space family. It was Enoch, and it was Yahweh Adoni. Mm-hmm. I call him Adoni. Okay. There are people out there that I met that have been very harsh on them because they really don't know the truth of our history. There's been so many stories been put out there that were being misled. And of course, it happens. Everybody gets confused because there's always a little piece of truth, and then there's some exaggeration just because they wanted to start wars.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what we've been talking about just before you came on, really.
Oh, really?
Exactly what you just said, that they have started wars by, you know, by creating all these different factions in us.
Yes.
Yeah, divide and rule, you know, as they say. But,
yes. When I was feeling some of these waves for the past few weeks, they said they were working on something, and they were going to be calling me for to help them, to work with them because of the sensitivity. But it wasn't just me. It was others on the planet as well, and we were connecting how the energies were going. And since all of us have a certain devices in our DNA that they can read off of us, what's actually happening and how high or how low the frequencies are affecting humanity, they can trigger by some of us that are more sensitive and actually use us as part of, well, some of them might say experiment, but it's like a guide to help, you know?
Yeah, like a troubleshooting sensor. Like the things that people have in their engines, you know, they plug them into the computers, and the computer shows where the car has got faults and things like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, we've got built. So you're saying there is technology in the DNA that is a self-diagnosing tool for God.
Yes.
Wow. Excellent. And so. And here's something that I've always felt, Olivia, is that I'm put into positions to see things with my eyes and hear with my ears, that I'm like a kind of recording program, or like I'm a sensor for my space brothers and sisters. They look through my eyes. Is that a
yes,
reality?
Yes, it is, and I've actually, when they've done it to me very young, and I had forgotten about it, but I would say about 5 years ago, they were doing some adjustments to a lot of our eyes. I would say from 2003 to I would say now, many humans, they get like convulsions, like vertical and seizures. That's because they've been working with the lenses of our eyes for they can see better. And your eyes are actually like a monitor for them, you know, to see out, or like a camera.
Yeah, yeah. We're like surveillance cameras.
Yeah. Yeah. And then our eyes to us, how we perceive things out, we can see them as holographs. So a lot of the stories that you hear about, oh, it's just holographs, that's a technology, and blah, blah, blah. Well, we need that. How do you think we communicate when they're someplace else? Did you watch Superman? In the beginning, Superman shows the crystal is out. He puts it out in that one, I think it was that hidden cave was all crystallized.
Oh, yeah.
And he was able to speak to his ancestors. They were still alive in someplace else, but they couldn't be there in that dimension, in that place. So they talked to him through holograms.
Oh, wow. I got the most incredible shiver just then. It's
so
like
did I.
A really, really slow shiver. It's not just like a brrr. It's like it's moving through really slowly. Wow, weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah. and, you know, what you're saying is really resonating. And particularly, the, you know, you say this thing about getting these bolts of electricity?
Yes.
I get them all the time. That's why I'm a terrible boyfriend. I'm really bad to sleep with because I'm like, getting bolts of energy that is jerking my whole body. And sometimes I get into a vibration where my whole body is shaking, like, and luckily I've got one of those gas shock chairs. That allows me to bounce up and down. It absorbs the vibration of that. But
that's good because what they're doing is, even though I have dates out there that I put that these are activation dates, these activations are coming through constantly, and I think everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But these specific dates are only, it's because it's going to be a little bit more trigger. It's stronger. And so people can feel it a little bit more.
Mm.
But the other days are actually just constantly coming through. So when I put these dates, it's because these were specific dates that were supposed to trigger for the next, there was no high frequency nor low frequency. And it was supposed to be an opening for those to actually manifest something more quicker. And it's like there's no time in that moment.
Mm. Well, it was a very interesting.
Does that make sense?
I think so, because you know that it's like the moment of birth or moment of death. I mean, you've been there certainly at the moment of birth of your child, and I know I've been at the moment of death of my dad, and I remember that it was like there was no time. It was that time that. Moment.
Stillness.
Yeah, the real here and now. That we, you know, that's what we, you know, people talk about. We're chasing heaven, you know, and the heaven is just here and nowness.
Yeah.
And so all of the pressures that have forced us to look at others as enemies or as potential threats or all of that stuff, that sort of stop us from getting in the here and now, isn't it?
Yes. Every time you judge anybody, not like you're judging them like deliberately, but you have a thought of them that you feel doesn't resonate correctly, you have to question yourself on that. Is that really me, or is it something coming inside me? Because being that the DNA had been messed with for a very long time, and some people have been restored 100%. It's a very small percentage. And others are still going through these flukes up and down. And then some are still kind of like down, like I think you say the lower 3D.
Uh-huh.
That are having really super hard time forgiving the past of our ancestors and other planetories that actually have gone to battle because they're all working together here in the now right now.
Yeah.
When I listen to a lot of these people on the radio still full of anger, they don't realize that's the past them still being right there. It's not the real them because these ones they're talking about that they have gotten in battles, I'm actually working with them. And I'm not here to hurt anybody. We're all here to help each other, to make sure everybody else goes back up and evolves. And so it's been very hard for them, but they're still doing it. They're still here helping. And they're saying, God, we don't know how to get them to understand that was the past. That was the past ancestors. And what it really is came down to is these beings that had gotten into these battles with other beings when they no longer lived on that planet, the ones that they fought against incarnated into that planet, and they're the ones that are being named, I'm sorry, now and are here helping. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. is that? I mean, it's like. I mean, to me, it's. I'm getting the idea of. You know, here we apparently are, right? And yeah. In other timelines, in another time-space timeline thing, there we are, still now, but in a different time-space.
Yes.
Instead of space-time. So we're separated by a distance, which is a different distance in time. So what appears to be a past life is actually a parallel life because time doesn't really exist.
Yes.
And so these are all parallel existences which are becoming focused, I believe, at this moment into the us in the now.
Yes.
So... we become more and more conscious of all our different past lives and gaining the wisdom and knowledge and merit and skills that we built up in those lives and becoming bit by bit a complete being, which is somebody who has all of the, you know, it's like you've never forgotten any of these lessons anymore. That you remember all of your lives and all of the things you could do, and you know you can play a violin, you can play a pianola, you know, that you got all of these skills and abilities that are completely available to you in your DNA because you remember. I think it's very important
yes.
that we know our true history, because if you don't know the truth, you're weak, literally. Truth gives you strength. You know, when somebody tells you something true, you get strong. But when somebody lies to you, you become weak. And you know, this is the big problem with humanity. that's the start of it.
You know, it's true what you're saying, but it sounds so painful.
I feel the pain just now, you know, I'm feeling it.
I know there are some out there that are still having difficulties with the Orions.
Mm.
When the Orions and the Andromeda are actually working together. And somebody can argue with me on that, but I'm sorry, they are. I am an Orion. And we're here helping. Okay? And it hurts when somebody puts us down when we've helped before. We love you. And I am an Andromeda, and I am an archive, and I am many, and I work with them all, and I've lived with them all before. And it's time for everybody to let go and unite. I am even, God, I'm going to say it, but it's going to hurt. I am a relative of those Luciferians. And it's been hard incarnating in this planet and knowing what they did to the children. We've been working hard and asking, please stop. It is our own bloodlines we were fighting.
Yeah.
But they were all under a program themselves. Is this what you all wanted me to tell them?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, so with all that, it's like it's going to be hard to say us and them. It's all about us and we and me. because we are, I'm me, and I'm a fractal part of us, and you're you, and you're a fractal part of us too, and that's what they call the mind of God, isn't it? That we've all got this tiny spark of it. So it's the what we need to do is to rise above the thinking of us and them into a unified consciousness, and that's why we're talking. We always talk about the Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian forgiveness tool, which is just a beautiful thing. You just say, "I love you. I'm sorry. Yes. Please forgive me. Thank you."
Absolutely, amen.
And it has an amazing effect. You know, if you ever feel in an emotional state, just come up with that. It's really easy. You know, it's not hard to remember. I was thinking actually to make a little song, you know, just put a little tune behind it and see what comes out, because it's so simple and so beautiful and so incredibly effective. It absolutely works. I mean, it works literally miracles. People. And it works across, you know, distance immediately. You know, it takes no time for the effect to be felt. So I have to keep pushing that. There's a response from Andrew. He says, "I feel your pain, Olivia. Let those tears flow, as this message is being broadcast on many levels of awareness."
So, Thank you.
Yeah, there are beings everywhere. Some of them aren't on the internet exactly, but we're all listening. This is an important moment in time.
I'm sure they'll get it consciously.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andrew.
Bless your heart. He's lovely.
I still love the Mog. Like I said, I know they were under a program, and when I was younger, when they would approach me, they never did any harm to me, actually. They very respectful, would talk to me in kindness. But once they revealed who they were, I would stop talking to them. Mm. And I said, I have nothing to say to you, for I'm here for all. I'm not taking sides. I can't say no size, and I never will. I stand on my ground. And the past few years, I understand now it was because they needed help. And they needed to get through source when there was their way of crying for help themselves.
Mm. Because sometimes when you've gone so far down a road and you express yourself in that way, it comes out all wrong. And, so, you know, if we're suffering like this, you know, this week, I know at least two people listening to this have had a really gritty experience, you know,
really?
Gritty gravel. I mean, I brought you in, I've been like the angriest I've ever been. I was angry at a friend who'd done something anyway.
Can I add something to that? Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to shift myself. Is it possibility that you might have gotten caught in a pocket
of space time?
I walked into it in that moment, and you picked up that energy, and I'm saying this because, like, we all know what HARP's doing.
Oh, I see.
And then when you get these energies coming from the sun. And then other planets and other dimensions are also coming in as well. Yeah. And they keep opening
like up in space that keeps opening up this door and throwing in these frequencies. And then as they collect, there's always a negative pocket that and it can travel in small portions through the grids, you know. And you can take one step forward and not accidentally ended up in that pocket for that moment if your heart was open at that moment that just absorbed it. And then you take a few steps out and you're like okay again. But sometimes it can stay a little longer because you actually got it trapped inside you and needed to release it.
Well, that's really interesting what you say there, because certainly a very good friend of mine had that has been exactly like she's been in this zone for about 3 weeks in wow. Like just feeling so low about herself.
Oh no.
Yeah. You know, this whole self-worth thing, and it's really, in a way it's like this is happening and it's taking like 3 weeks, which might have taken, you know, in the last century, like 30 years to have that sort of length of experience in order to get what the lesson is. And you know, for me, that it showed up, there were things, you know, I have triggers, oh my god, I've got stuff, yeah. But and it showed up how my triggers were being put off and what triggers me, and so that's given me a bit of grist to my mill to work on my stuff as well, you know, because you can't easily work on it in the moment when it's happening, but once it's over you can sort of take a look and work through it. But yeah, there's been a lot of tears this week from a lot of people, a lot of heartache. Yeah,
I hope they're healing ones.
Yeah, well, I think it's like, you know, somebody asked what your rays are. Olivia has 1, 2, 4. And yes. Yeah, that's right. Somebody's saying, I know she assisted someone to fulfill a certain duty coming to opening and ordering an arc hub gate, if that makes any sense.
No, can you explain it to me?
I have no idea what he's saying. bless your heart. I mean, it seems that you assisted someone he knew, to fulfill a certain duty coming to opening and ordering an arc hub gate.
Oh, okay, I do know what he's talking about.
All right.
Thank you.
And then Andrew has just said, yes, the hub requires a frequency soul, to initiate the catalyst crystals.
Oh, yes. God, they're good.
Yeah, you know, we have a good listenership, you know. We people with very high minds.
Yes.
Can you explain that to me? Because you guys know what I'm talking about. I have no idea what you're saying. So
maybe they should come on the air and join in.
Yeah, well, you tell me first. You tell me first.
We've actually had this discussion before, JP.
Uh-huh.
When we talked about the Covenant of the Ark.
Yeah.
I also I told you once that I had to connect. This was I would say the late 90s. I had to consciously connect with the crystal skulls in the on the planet and off the planet, because I did know that there was a few out on the moon, and there was one out in Saturn and Mars, I believe. And then there was others here on the planets that were replicated, and some of them didn't really resonate. And so those calls, when I did connect with them, they also told me about the crystals that were going in the inner earth that was needed to charge up, and that I would have to consciously connect with it. And I said, how am I going to do that? And then they directed me to the original Covenant of the Ark. So I kind of came out of my body and I went to it. At first it was kind of freaking me out, and I had to run back into my body because the energy off of it was extremely too powerful.
Mm. So what we're talking about is, you know, I've discussed this on various shows. Over the summer, I figured out what the Ark of the Covenant was, that it is very much like an arc welding lamp, but kind of on a maybe larger scale, that it so it creates a black hole, which is a wormhole, which connects to other dimensions, and it can be used as a communication device and a manifestation device, and it's a very, very, very bright light that happens. It's the same, as I said, it's like an arc welder.
The light is like a fire. That's why I had run back into my body because it was too powerful.
Yeah. Well, have you ever done arc welding, Olivia?
No, I never have.
All right. Well, I have an arc welding machine that I bought from a cheap supermarket. It cost me £30. And you can't see. This is the thing. The week that I was doing this, my housemate needed me to repair the lawnmower. And the wheel had fallen off because the metal had given away. So I had to weld some more metal on it. And I'd been talking with Jerry Cannon and Rebecca about the Ark of the Covenant, because that's his Jerry's ArkQuest.com guy. And he's a funny guy. He's humorous funny, and he comes from the same part of London that I do. So he sounds like one of my uncles. Anyway, so he's going on about this and talking about the Ark of the Covenant, and then I was and we, you know, everybody thinks the Ark is a box that shapes like two stones or something, you know, like all this stuff. But what we've worked out is that the, you know, checking on Nassim Haramein and John Hutchinson, who have also done research on the Ark of the Covenant, that, you know, I kind of agree with their... Oh, I agree with their conclusions. how magnanimous of me. I figured out that it's... the arc is the same word as the arc, right? An arc welder is the same as the arc because it's the same because you can't look upon it. No man may look upon an arc welder. You have to wear special goggles. It emits ultraviolet light.
You know what? That's a good point, because it can hurt your eyes.
Yeah.
It's true. That's what it was, why I had to run out, because I wasn't expecting what I saw.
Right. Now, the other thing about an arc welder is you have to wear protective clothing, because this thing is spitting out fire. There's thousands of degrees of heat.
Yes.
Okay. You have to wear gloves. You have to wear a mask that has a black plate on it, really, really black plate that you see through. It's like a really major sunshade. And this is what we're talking about. You know when you look at the sun through the eclipse? Oh, you know, you mustn't look at the sun because the sun is a plasma. It's an arc, right?
Yes.
And
correct.
The arc welder... You have to wear a mask that has this black plate, just like you will look at the sun with. Yeah? You have to wear a leather apron, because this thing is going to spit fire at you and spit tiny bits of hot metal at you. As this arc is doing its kind of thing. Now, when you have a massive arc like that, when they were welding battleships, you have to weld, you know, 2-inch thick steel,
yes,
and you need massive, massive amounts of electric current to make that weld happen. And because this is like a really high voltage thing or a high current thing, they discovered that they were losing tools when they were, you know, they were doing these welds, and suddenly, you know, their tools would disappear. And they were, you know, blaming their fellow workers and everything. Who stole my tools? And it turns out that they were creating tiny black holes, and the tools were falling down the black hole. And that's how they discovered that using plasma arcs to create interdimensional wave generation, created the thing that they call the Philadelphia experiment, where they made a ship disappear, but it fell through time and space. It fell into the future, which is an interesting way of putting things, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, back to the arc. So the arc is a spark. It's a big arc weld. And you can't look at it, and you have to wear special clothing. And that's exactly what the priests had to do in the old days. And you know, if you go into the temple, the people who went into the temple, for some reason, are genetically disposed to being less sensitive to ultraviolet light, because it's like only one branch of the tribes, the Kohens, could go into the ark, into where the ark was, and they had to wear special protective clothing, yeah, because this thing was so bright, and you'd get this smoke coming out the top.
They would pick up like the radiation, wouldn't they? And they wouldn't live that long.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, this arc is like a sun. So it's emitting on all frequencies. It's X-rays, gamma rays, ultraviolet B, ultraviolet A, ultraviolet, visible light, infrared light, microwaves, you know, the whole spectrum, all at the same time.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something.
Go ahead.
They could have lived, even though they had all that, they could have lived if they would have connected and became one with those elements. It's the same way like when a yogi, when he's ready to master and he walks on those coals, those hot coals.
Oh, yeah.
On his feet,
mm-hmm.
He becomes one with it, so he can't feel the heat anymore.
Mm.
And then the same way when one can, there's very, very few people that actually can just get into acid and it doesn't affect them, or put their hand through fire, even through the mouth, because they've already learned to become one with it.
Mm.
So it can't hurt it.
On the vibration with it. So isn't it, yeah. Interesting. This is interesting. Oh, thank you for coming in, Olivia. This is really good.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so, you know, interestingly, like, and this has happened quite a few times. You know, I like to leave at least one show every so often a kind of a chance for randomness to happen. And often I've had Two Dog, the Lakota chief down in Kentucky, when I've had no guest on my Tuesday show, he'll say, my guides, you know, my spirit guides told me to call you up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Twice this has happened, half an hour before the show. How you doing, man? I said, amazing. Coming on the show? Yeah, okay. It's like they know when I'm free.
Yeah, because 25 minutes before you, 3 o'clock, I was like painting something here,
mm-hmm.
which I still have my stuff all out, and all of a sudden I hear somebody say, hey, you're getting a call here. I'm like, oh, okay. So it was the council. They said, JP. So what about JP? And I looked at the clock. I went, JP, that's right.
Brilliant. This is the way it works. I am completely grateful to all the spirit guides of all the people on these shows, because, for instance, if it wasn't for Rebecca's spirit guides, I wouldn't be where I am today, really, because I was just a listener. And she called me up one day on Skype, said, would you like to come on my show? And I said, yeah, I don't know anything. What do I know? I'm just listening. I'm listening to this stuff. I know. I'll talk about the rays. And then I started talking about the rays, and I discovered I had a whole vast library of information in my mind that I didn't know I had, that just kind of pours out, and it all falls together, and it all makes sense, and... It's kind of, I'm learning as much as everybody else. You know, I sometimes have to listen back to the shows. So that's quite interesting. JP is getting the big upstairs bump.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your seven rays? How you came to the conclusion, what is a one and a two or three?
All
what's
right.
the description?
Well, I had a spiritual teacher. I very briefly, about 20 years ago, I had a girlfriend. She said, have you heard of so-and-so? I said, no. So she dragged me along one day, you know, okay. And there I saw him across the room, and I thought to myself, oh, Big Bear. It's like, you know, I knew who he was, and it was like, and then we sat down and listened to him, and he was sitting there, you know, with pyramids all around and crystals and stuff, and I was, and he just made sense. He just made every sense to me that nobody had ever made that much sense of, and everything kind of fitted together with the way he was putting it in. And he was talking about the rays and you know, the sixth ray this and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't quite understand it at the time. And I'd had written, I had read a couple of the Alice Bailey books. Well, I hadn't really read them, you know, because you can't really read them. Some people are like, oh, I've read the whole 24 books. How the hell did you read it? I can't read one paragraph. The first time I looked at that book, I just stared at the first sentence of the paragraph. I couldn't get through the first sentence. It was so densely, it was like a zip file of convoluted information, concentrated, dried, and packaged and vacuum sealed. So information dense. I went a couple of talks given by this guy and then I started reading the books again, and they made loads of sense, and I could read through them like a novel. They were all about the seven rays, and he spoke a lot about the seven rays, I went along my way, and I got married and had a kid and did all this stuff, and everything went downhill from there. And so, although I do have a beautiful, beautiful son, who's just 16 and being brilliant, I had this terrible relationship, and I had nothing to do. I was just really raw and sore from it, and I just started listening to internet radio, and then I got this call from Rebecca, and I've been looking for somebody to teach me the rays. I've been looking for like further study, and I couldn't find anybody. Particularly in this genre, you know, this alternative uh-huh. media genre, and this is the place that you'd find it. You know, if I was looking for it, this is where I'd find it. To me, the seven rays is the key to how everything fits together, because it's just like music, and music is real. And exactly your last post is called, where is it? Oops, I've lost it now. Olivia's blog, there we go. Activation 432 hertz.
Yes.
And 432 hertz is actually, very interestingly, the guitar tuning I was using on Monday night when I was doing my global webcast from the Findhorn Foundation. I was just playing one song on my guitar. And the song was called Caledonia. And it goes, let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, I'm coming. It's about coming back to Scotland. Uh-huh. And it's just got this lovely, you know, let me tell you that I love you. Maybe I'll play that. Let me put that on, because I've got a copy of that on my one of my websites. And I'll play that during the break. Here it is. Because we are coming up for a break now. So, Olivia, will you be able to hang around a little bit more?
Sure.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. Anyway, as a little break, this is Caledonia. It's actually coming from a rehearsal that I did with Andrea Turner and myself. This is kind of what we were playing that night. There might be a couple of guitar mistakes in it, but forget those.
Okay. I'll be right back. I gotta go wash my brushes.
My name's okay. JD. This is Andrea Turner, the lovely sexy jazz singer.
Are we still on air?
Yeah.
Are you gonna make any kind of announcement? I think not. I think we'll just start, okay, with this. And I think perhaps I might at the end say that was Caledonia by Dougie McLean.
Or you could say, well, I'll do this
in. Sorry, we're just talking about stuff on how to keep the how to get the thing doing right on stage. Where do we start?
I don't know if you can see the changes that have come over me in these past few days. I've been afraid I might drift away. I've been telling stories, singing songs that make me think about where I came from. That's the reason why I sing so far away today. Let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. If I should become a stranger, know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. Now I have moved and kept on moving, proved the points that I needed proving, lost the friends I needed losing, found others on the way. I've kissed the lads, left them crying, stolen dreams, yes, there's no denying. I've traveled far, with conscience flying, somewhere in the wind. Let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling. Now I'm going home. If I should become a stranger, know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. Empty room, the forest choir. The flames of cold can't get any higher. They've withered now, they're gone. But I'm steady thinking, my way is clear. I know what I will do tomorrow. When hands are shaken, the kisses flow, then I will disappear. Let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling. Now I'm going home. If I should become a stranger, know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. Thank you. me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me. Now I'm going home.
So there you go. So hang on a second, Olivia. I've muted your sound here, so I'm just going to bring you back in there. Hi, Olivia.
Really nice. Hi, Jim.
How was that?
That was very nice.
So, thank you for indulging me. That's again Andrea Turner. It was broadcast on the web, and it may be available on an archive because it was a lot better live on stage because I was a little more frilly. On the guitar, because I'd have been working it between that rehearsal and the performance time. I've had such little... I mean, it's been absolutely mental the last few weeks, because I've all these different things that I had to do and things that I had to fulfil in completely different spheres of life. One of them is that I had to basically create this arrangement of that song, and I only had, like, a couple of days to do it, you know, given the space of all the other things that have been going on. And, you know, no sooner had I, you know, finished the arrangement, I did that, and then something else comes up, and then the next day is another thing, and then the next day is the, I had the Alex Collier interview, and that one went pear-shaped, and he's dropped out, but then I had Tolik and Rebecca on, and then I made a YouTube video of it, and in 24 hours, it got like 500 views. It's like, let me just check right now. It's intense. It's been, what was it? How many views has it had? It's had over 5,000 views now. 5,020 views in 1 week. So that was an interesting moment. And that was the day of the activation. So there was a lot of energy coming through that show. A lot of people kind of focusing their point of energy at that place. In space and time. So, my guest is Olivia Valencia. How are you, my dear? How was that?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
So good. I'm feeling much better now. Like I said, it's been a gritty week for everybody, but actually it's very nice to... it was very nice to listen to that piece because, like I said, since arranging it and creating it and then performing it, I've had a whole other different life. I've been writing computer programs. I've been fixing software problems. I've been fixing laptops and taking them apart. And, you know, it's been a completely different mode of being from that sort of nice, relaxed, creative. That's the kind of guy I like to be, you know, the nice, relaxed, creative guitar player. And I've not had that opportunity this week. I've been very, very hyper intellectual kind of activities. And last night, I have to say, I went to a party last night, and people asked me and my friend to play, and I played my old guitar, and it was like coming back to meeting an old friend. We just played together, you know, because a really good guitar. I mean, I'm sure you have various, you know, analogies to this, but when you got a really good guitar, it plays itself. Your fingers just move in the right way. Everything is very smooth, and you make it look easy. And in a way, it's like you can say that the tool is, the guitar is more than a tool. Because it takes on your energy, you know, you express a lot of your soul into it. It's interesting. It's like putting on an old shirt, you know, an old loved shirt, you know what I mean? One of those nice padded shirts that you used to wear. It's got a bit tatty now, but you put it away and then you wear it a couple of years later. It's, oh yeah, I remember this feeling. I like this feeling. So, so that was lovely to reacquaint with, Cecilia.
That's her name?
The guitar is called Cecilia.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a great name. I can hear myself, JP.
Yes, of course you can. Right. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's all right. That's I wanted to, so you could hear the sound. So, Olivia, you have, you called me up, like, you know, you just sent a message 25 minutes before the show. And so from your end, what was your experience, and what did they tell you, or what were the feelings that you wanted to put across this afternoon?
Well, we did talk about a little bit of it already, and like you just said about the activation hertz, and then it was funny because the day before, or a couple of days before, I actually asked you to help because I always have a hard time posting the blog.
it appears in, how can I put this, various places.
it's like there's different ways to do it and which one's right. I go, wow, geez. And thank you for putting the steps for me.
That's good. We now have a recipe.
Yes. And then you had mentioned, like you said before, the song that you played, that you were actually working on 432 Hertz Monday. And it makes me wonder how many people out there consciously were told to do this to help balance the planet.
I wonder. So, what's your what do your people say about 432?
It says that it's to balance because some of the waves could be a little bit too strong coming in, and some are too low. And since we are the technology ourselves, we can kind of put resonant and focus into that hertz. And I said, well, then how do I do that? Am I supposed to change my voice a certain way? Do I change my energy when I meditate and then I send it out? How do I do that? And so that's when they kind of like holographically showed me this image and said, this is the way 433 looks like in a symbol. And I said, I seen this symbol. You all gave it to me a few years ago. And they go, well, use it now. Put it out there. And once you paste it out there, and whoever's consciously being aware of this 432 hertz, it's going to spread. The symbol's going to just go into the internet, and it's going to spread, and it's going to go into, what, cell phones and everything, this certain frequency, and then it'll start to balance. And yeah, like we were talking about earlier, the pockets that are there, hopefully it'll get into that, but we're still working on it. That's what they're saying. We're still working on those little glitches there.
So there's a few bugs in the main software.
Yes, they're on 11.11. I was like getting a little bit of the little tingle because I felt it, and I heard the machine come in, should I say? Mm-hmm. I said, is this it? Because the past few years, I just went out to space. I'm still here. Is that it? They went, no, we're having difficulties. And I went, okay, so what's going to go on? And they go, you're going to work. And I said, what? So then I, all of a sudden, a holograph computer appeared, and then it was just, like I said, just not me. It was other people on the planet. I don't know who they are by human, but consciously I can communicate with them. And we had a triggers down here and help out there. And this took several days. So what was supposed to happen didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what's to expect for 12/12.
Mm-hmm. So,
but at least it's not as bad. Nothing exploded, you know.
Four.
The universe is still here.
So, oh, I see nothing big exploded.
Yeah. So we do have a good crew, and that's everybody. Because there's more love here and out there than what we really think there is. Everybody's just going through these emotions, you know.
Mm. And you're right. It is an emotional time, and you know the numerologist we've had on the show, Gary, the numbers guy, he's called. has said about the number 11, it's a ripply number. You know, even the word ripples, you know, it creates,
yes,
has a vibratory function. And he says that 11 is a very emotional energy. And so we had 11-11
right
last week. And
yeah,
boy, have we had emotions this week.
Yeah. And usually when there's the past few years that I noticed when I got triggered into it, when there's 11-11, it lasts for 11 days. So if, oh yeah, I forgot to mention that. Okay.
Oh, thanks.
you're welcome. But I'm mentioning it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the air, so it's staying there. So
that takes
yeah
us up to Wednesday.
Yeah, so it's almost over. Hey, you know what? Comparing how it was in the early years,
yeah,
this is a breeze. Come on.
Yeah, I know. It's not like it's getting easier, but you just know what to expect.
True.
It's less
even
of a shock.
Even myself, I told what's going to happen, but just because you're being told what's going to happen, you don't know what the visual and the emotional effect's going to be. They just tell you the technology side of it. Mm. That's completely different.
Mm.
Just like when what happened in the past 2 years, well, what happened on the 11-11 in 2010, yes, I didn't know what that was going to be, but we didn't know whether or not that was going to actually fulfill, and it did. And we all, oh my God, it was like so many cheers from everywhere because we did it. We all did it. You, you know, when I say all, I mean everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an amazing moment. And last year, it kind of threw me for a loop because I was actually in bed, already like asleep, and all of a sudden I heard the sounds come in, and then I went, oh, they're opening the door. Okay. But even when I'm asleep, I'm consciously aware of what's going on out there.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I kind of like feel an electrical vibration coming in. And all of a sudden, it hit me on my toes. And then it went to my hands, and then it went to my head. And then when it was like electrical, vibrational, like charge, you just got charged up, and then it from my hands and my feet and the top of my head, the electricity just shot right into my heart, and then I just shot up into the space, and I was spiraling up there, and it wasn't just me. I saw elements, bunch of like, not just people, but I saw like cars, I saw trees, you know, like I even saw my truck go up there, and we were just spinning. We were all in this pocket bubble spinning. And it was making like little static noise, but spinning. And for me, I looked around and I noticed it was coming from the sun. I looked straight up and I said, you? The sun. But then right when I noticed it was the sun, it must have been 15 seconds being up there. All of a sudden I just dropped back into my body and just like stood there going, huh? What? Because I was awake, and I felt fortunate that I was awake to be out there in space and experience that. And I just laid there going, okay, it was coming from the sun. That came from the sun. And after that, I started communicating with the actually beings or our family, you know, that are running the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's actually, like you said, a device, like an ark, but inside an ark, there's always a crew in it. Just like the Earth and other planets, when they bring them in,
mm-hmm,
it's being run by somebody. It can't just be there. Everything has somebody running it.
Ah, that's a very, very interesting avenue of exploration, isn't
yes
it? Everything's got somebody running it.
Yes.
Nothing happens by random.
Exactly. Yeah. And then after that happened, I was told, like in the beginning of the year, in January, when we opened up the gates, we were told that another son would be coming in because this one needed repairing. And I said, all right. And then some other planets were coming through because of the black hole that was created. And that's another thing that I want to clear on people out there that were saying, you know, black holes can kill you. That's it. We're doomed. It's doomsday. That's a bunch of BS. Mm-hmm. Black holes create another universe, and then you place in other planets and other suns and create another beauty that you're going to be a part of.
So it's Stargate. We all know what a Stargate is.
Yeah.
You know, we can, and how does the intention get set? Is it just, you just, you know, when you create a black hole, there's an intention.
Okay. And it was 2010 for 11/11. Mm-hmm. That was, seriously, that was the big activation. That was like the most important one, but it was a hush-hush. Very few of us knew what to do. Mm-hmm. And these activations, I can't say what we used, what we did, but it came from everybody consciously. These vibrations, they came through. Our own electricity created something for the future. And it activated the crystals inside the planet, the crystals that are outside, off worlds, and the crystals that are inside the sun. And we got all the arcs that are on every planet and all the ones that are here to be activated. And that's why I told you that I had to go and talk with the arcs.
Right.
That was on this planet. Consciously, because I couldn't go there physically. They said, it's impossible for you to get near it. You're going to have to come out of your body and do it.
Yeah.
So,
for the same reasons that we were talking about before. For the
yes.
same reasons that we were talking about before, that is actually physically harmful. It's like standing next to a nuclear bomb going off all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and me being out of my body, I ran because I forgot I wasn't in my body.
Yeah. You think that's air
it was
you're
too
breathing?
Much. Exactly. So funny. But anyways, when 11/11 that day hit, there was a moment in time it stood still and everybody's frequency that was connected, whether you are aware of it or not, many were connected without knowing it. Mm. It triggered all of our senses and the whole opened up. And the reason why it was doing that is because we had to create a better, more efficient universe for us to live in case something should happen here.
Well, like a kind of backup reality.
Yes.
Like when you you back up your Windows operating system.
Yes. Yeah. And when this took place, this is going to be hard for many to understand, but I did go in that hole to check it out. I had to come out in my body and just go there and check it out. And I turned around and I told Enoch, two thumbs up. It's not negative. It's not positive. It's neutral. A great place to start building.
Mm-hmm. Nice place to raise your kids. Well, let's hope it is. You know, we really need a nice place to raise our kids.
Yeah, and you know what? It's already completed. Mm. And there's just more planets being added and more suns will be coming through. By now we have two here and there's a third one coming in the next few months. And I would say anywhere from April to June next year, a fourth sun would be coming through.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So, I mean, this is interesting because one of my previous guests, who is probably amongst the furthest kind of out there, although she, you know, she's she was a very grounded Xerox engineer, imaging expert for many years, and she's a, you know, a teacher in photocopy technology. And she's been studying pictures of the moon and pictures of the sun, and getting the color spectrums and all of that sort of stuff dealt with. And she can do this using a photocopier. Like I said, she's an expert in this stuff. But she can break down an image and tell you what the lighting was when that image was taken. And you can tell also from the sun and how the sun is, what the frequencies coming off the sun are. And whether it's the same sun as we had before. And she's been saying that this is not the sun that we call the sun.
No, it wasn't. I'm glad there's so many intelligent people that really can see through and have evidence, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she's... And like I say, I mean, she talks about some very out there fringe kind of ideas. But she noticed the discrepancy in the pictures between the on the moon landings, the quote moon landings unquote, photographs that were, you know, taken by Stanley Kubrick. Those really beautiful clear photographs of the guy standing on the moon. Yeah, he's like, there's Neil. Oh yeah, how do I know that's Neil?
That's exactly. He's just in a suit.
Yeah,
you can't even see a face or two eyes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just the bubble head.
Bubble heads. That's probably what the ET's call. Oh, look, there's some bubble heads over there. So, brilliant. And, hang on, I've completely derailed my train of thought by talking about the moon. And oh, Emily, and the sun. And the fact that the sun is going, that is, it's a different sun, it's changing colours and all of this stuff. What's the kind of sequence that your people have been telling you that about the what's going to happen with these suns, and how are we going to experience it? We're not going to be seeing two suns in the sky, are we?
It's not about them telling me. It's history, or I remember the life when I lived there before on this universe. We had 1,000 suns here.
1,000.
A lot of those suns are now either tiny little stars or little rocks just flowing out there in space. Mm-hmm. And after so many time, they do tend to wear out because it's you know, like you say, an arc is this big giant battery charging up this universe. So everything has some kind of life form here. Once it turns off, the lights are out.
Well, that's good. And that's interesting because something that my guide said to me the other day, actually I've got it here on my page, so many things going on in space, there are other bodies in our solar system which are impinging on our gravity. It also says you will see Pluto perhaps be in a different position. Once the wave hits, there will be illumination of bodies that were previously invisible. The visibility will persist for a short time, long enough to show up new members of your solar system family. That's kind of exactly what you just said.
Yeah, I already went through that a few years ago.
Yeah.
I was invisible. Luckily, I was home. And I didn't know I was invisible after a few minutes. I had to look at I was like typing on my keyboard, and then I noticed that there was no hands. And then I looked down at the chair, and my body was gone. But like I think we've talked about this, depending on what time zone you're living in, it'll happen.
Hang on. What's that?
It depends what timeline you're living in. I said time zone, didn't
you?
Timeline. I didn't even realize until now. timeline you're living in, you will experience it. Like some people probably already experienced it and weren't even aware of it because you were probably walking down the street and you were invisible for a moment, and because you didn't look down at yourself, you were looking at the scenery. It happened. It passed. Mine just happened because I was typing. I was sitting still, or else I wouldn't have noticed it myself.
Yeah. So, yeah. So what you're talking about is you're phasing from particle to gravity to wave, aren't you?
Yes.
Because there was another thing that my guides were saying about, you know, becoming the wave.
And the wave is actually I believe it's ether.
Yes. It's, on my previous guest, William Stillings. Have I spoken with Will before, with you?
I think you got him on the phone for a few minutes, and then he had difficulty trying to connect.
Yeah. We'll do it another day. But he talks about gravity generators. I mean, he's a real tech guy. And he understands the elemental relationship between these technologies and the difference between oscillators and rotors. Odd numbers elements, I'm going to get this wrong. It's one or the other, right? Odd are oscillators. Yeah, O for O. Oscillators are odd numbers and rotors are even numbers. And by combining those elements, you can create a gravity generator. And a gravity generator is essentially a time machine or a time and space machine or a Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's been talking about on this show. And I've been trying to step down this technology so people can actually understand what he's talking about.
It's
quite fun because he enjoys the kind of the mental agility of having to step this down so that people can understand what he's going on about. I asked him, you know, how far ahead in technology are you? He said, oh, about 30 years, you know.
I would love to talk to him.
Oh, yeah, he's a cool guy. Very, you know, he's a brother. So, here we are. What a wonderful... Thank you, Olivia, for calling in. It's really always a delight to speak to you. This is really good. Some really good nuggets for the people here. Do you have... let's talk... can we talk about the wave? What the... the ripple that comes from the center of the galaxy that's due to arrive here. Do you have any feelings or thoughts about that?
This has been coming on and off for years. This is those ripples. So this is not new.
Yeah.
So I you know, it's kind of funny how they always seem to bring stuff up repeatedly as if it was the first time ever being recognized in space when it's repeating. So it's nothing new, no different from the other ripples. It's just going to be ripples. It might cause another little bit of a heat wave, but they're working on it. They try to balance it.
But I'm fascinated by this. This little message that I got, that it'll light up some stuff in the solar system that we didn't know was there.
That part I'm not aware.
Yeah, well, it's like you're talking about all these different suns that were around us.
Oh, okay. And I think I did post. Okay, I know what you're talking about now. I did post. There's going to be elements that are going to be actually be showing up in our space. There are going to be different elements that we're used to being educated here on the planet of. But it's not new. It's just that we've forgotten that these certain elements existed out there. Well, you're going to start seeing them in the next year. So when you hear stuff like being like doomsday again or some kind of disaster that's coming towards our planet, no, it's not. Everything's under control. Nothing's going to hit the planet. If our technology is more higher than you can imagine, how can something shoot straight and hit the planet? You know, that's just so ridiculous. Just to shift people's conscience and put them in a lower stage.
Hmm. Yeah, so essentially what you're talking about is like the doomsday programming, and the was it Armageddon, the name of that film, where the big
hits the planet? Oh my God, speaking of that, where I was 15 or 16 when I went to that one church, what's it called?
Church of Unification? No.
No, Calvary. I went with a friend of mine because she was actually a member of that church, and she goes, oh, we're going to go see a movie there. And I was always like, oh, okay, sure, I'll go. But I had no clue what I was getting into. Mm. I'm no offense to a member of that. But we went in there, and it was nice. They talk, you know, the minister talk. It was very pleasant. Then they said, oh, we have a movie here that's going to tell you about the future. And the movie was about an hour long. I swear, from the beginning to the end, I think I got traumatized. And I was only like 15 or 16 years old.
So it was full of shock programming.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when we left there, I said, what kind of a movie was that? And she goes, oh, and she's all calm. She goes, it's about the future. It's okay. And I went, no, it's not.
Oh, it's all right. It's only 10 years ago. 10 years away. Yeah, right.
Exactly. But that's all I remember when I saw that. And then as I got older, I would hear about Armageddon. I went, oh, forget it. Don't even go there with me. Don't bother.
Yeah, so it's all Stuart Swerdlow calls doomsday programming.
Yes.
Like, to make people scared, to put them in fear so that they won't ascend properly.
That, yeah, correct. And also probably just to make their heart go out, and they'll probably drop dead right there and then, just for believing in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a traditional Ever Beyond foghorn there down in the background. And, yeah, so very interesting. So let me just have a quick look at the... right, there we go. Oh, yes. Yes, okay. So this is again from Rainbow Warrior. I presume she speaks of it in different terms, but could you ask her about the blue-white core and the green-violet core exploding? If there's not clue, then she probably thinks of it in different terms. Does that make it sense? Make sense to you?
No.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably like she said in different terms for me.
Yeah. So, Rainbow, could you approach that question from a different angle, and we'll see if we can work around that. So, yes, this is live, and this is Ever Beyond, and this is Olivia Valencia speaking on behalf of herself and her collective, her soul collective. It's beautiful to be connected in with you today, and. Well, we're talking about the current. I mean, it's not like the coming Earth changes. The current Earth changes. We were talking earlier about the planetary expansion and the effect that has on the edges of the large continental plates. Imagine they're turtle shells. They're hard and they're inflexible. So some of them are going to crack in the middle. That's how mountain ranges get formed. Another's going to be pulled apart as the planet expands underneath it, and that's the kind of thing that's going to happen in the Mississippi zone, isn't it? Where that area comes further apart, and sea comes in, and so
yes.
we now have another sea between East America and West America. So, we're also talking that a lot of people actually got feelings and messages to get the heck out of those.
Then places. Listen to it. Listen.
Yeah, some people did.
Yes.
And Dave, indeed. Good. Dave Corso, who runs this station, got that 12 years ago.
Good.
And it, yeah, there was about 1997, 98, there was this big inrush of, like, move.
Yes, I was
part of that. Myself and my wife, we moved from southern England, which is very, you know, population dense, and we moved up to this place up in Scotland, which is very, very sparse in population and more sheep than people. Actually, that's the same down in England, but it's the other way around. Anyway, meanwhile, talking of sheep, we moved up here, and as you said, Dave moved, and you moved to the West, didn't you?
Oh, I've always lived in the West, but I moved to the East for a short period of time because I was assigned to go over there. But that's a different story. It's too long.
Mm.
Yeah, I was sent out there.
Okay, well, we've got about 20 minutes left on the show, and I've now got two questions in. So I'll ask the first one first, and then the second one second, if you don't mind. Okay. When you're speaking about the sun, about it changing, is it like them hitting the pause button?
The pause button? This is your question, JP.
Comes in from a mutual friend of ours. It says, ask her if she means like them hitting the pause button when she was speaking about the sun.
No. There was no pause button.
All right. Okay, so no. But isn't it interesting that the pause button on a cassette deck or even, you know, even on any player... is an 11.
Yeah.
You ever noticed that?
Yes, I have, and you know, but I never put two and two together on that until now you said it. Funny.
Interesting.
Okay. It's like there was always signs and symbols everywhere. There's so much. I mean, you can look right in front of you. Everything has some kind of symbol sign telling you the messages, and how much do we pay attention?
Hmm.
You know?
We don't see what is in front of us.
Yes.
We see what's in our emotional body. So, another question.
Mm-hmm.
Can Olivia talk about the cross-galactic communicators, the chips, the machine, and the need to communicate?
Oh, dang, that's a long story.
Oh, I've got 15 minutes. Come on. Can you give us the, what's the word, the
so complicated to say it in voice.
Yeah,
If we could connect consciously, I can give it to you all in the zip file right here.
Yeah, can I ask this question telepathically, please?
I think this is what I'm going to say, because for me to explain it, it's just... I'm going to cut corners and it won't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
The best book that's out there is called Yahweh. And that's the technology. If you can like Google it, you know, there's pieces out there, and just read a paragraph, you will get some kind of idea what our universal technology is.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer somewhat? Because it's huge. To explain it, we can sit here a lifetime.
All right, let's narrow it down. Let's break it down a bit. Now, he's talking about the cross-galactic communicators. So what does he mean when he's talking about a cross-galactic? Do you mean is that a communicator that works across galaxies?
And oh, across galaxies?
Or can we just do this with our heads?
Oh, it's both.
Mm-hmm.
Both. With our heads and then also up in the ship, because there's a piece of you here, but very small pieces of us is here. The other portion is up on ships, and then another portion is up in source, where we come from.
Okay, so that, you know, so like what we call higher selves are actually crew members, to be honest,
like when I first kept hearing higher selves, when people kept saying that, I was going like, what on earth are you talking about? Is that another new age word term?
Mm-hmm.
And then
then I had to ask the guides, and then they were saying, you know, because we're pieces of us, like pieces of you. When you come up here, you're talking to yourself up here. But then, and then when sometimes you end up going to source, it's up there. I will. Oh, okay. So, I like I said, I sometimes have difficulty understanding things in English, even though I've been raised here in English. But just the communication up there and down here is a little bit different. But yes. In source, when you get to source, it's not the end of that. There's still another part of you elsewhere. So, how do I explain this? You know about the labyrinths, the maze.
Which, the Celtic maze?
But that's pretty much it, yeah. Stonehenge mm-hmm. is actually a labyrinth.
Right.
That is another location. Some people will call it like a Stargate because it's similar to it. That is actually part of, what do you call on a computer when you have the motherboard chip? The motherboard
mm-hmm.
on the computer?
Yeah.
And then you see the spirals, the unusual designs that are just creeping through.
That's
a maze.
The circuit board. That's the printed circuit.
Yes, the circuit. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, I remember that. The circuit board.
Yeah.
Well, these circuit boards, once you come through those and you finish with your graduation and you go to source, source will take you to another level that'll be completely different than this universe. And then you're starting another levels, and you're going to go through another different maze, or even it could be blocks, or it could be circles, it could be lines, it could be dots where you're coming through, like connect the dots, or like checkers, or you know the game checkers or chess,
mm-hmm.
chessboards. And then when you complete that stage, you go to another source. So this is a never ending. This was done a long time. God, I don't even know how many. There's not a number to say when this was created. It's because the certain source got bored to death
mm-hmm.
and wanted something new. And so when they created certain species, then they created more species, you know, and then they created species and so on and so on. Just like us here. And we're actually creating another species every time we give a life. Every time we think of something in our minds, because we like he's asking the question, are we a part of it? Yes, because when we create in our minds, sometimes it'll take a few hours, sometimes 24 hours, sometimes a week or a month when we manifest it, because we created it. We put the code in our head and released it into space, and then it came to be. Does that kind of answer a little piece?
Yeah, it's a nice little. That's a nice little chunk. That.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a nice little touch. Somebody said, Andrew's saying Stonehenge is a galactic radio station.
Pretty much, yeah. Yes. It's like a big arc.
I have without the fire. Yeah. I've been to Stonehenge, and I've been inside Stonehenge, done a meditation in there. It is the most curious feeling, because you're in a place where there is, you know, you're open to the sky completely. And yet the acoustics sound like you're inside a room.
Oh.
And so it really puts both of your hemispheres at kind of, ooh, it doesn't feel like it looks. It causes that cognitive dissonance, which probably allows you to step outside of yourself.
That a good feeling, or was it
It was kind of comfortable, but it was just odd, you know, just like really, really unusual. And the only other time I've felt that feeling is when I stepped into a brand new crop circle that I came across in 1993 in Wiltshire. And I just saw it on the side of the road, and I parked up, and I went across, and there were no footprints going into it or anything. And I went up the tram lines very carefully, and as I stepped into this thing, it felt like I'd stepped into a cathedral. There was this again a sense that I was inside a large domed building. Although I didn't have the acoustic effect of Stonehenge, I'm sorry.
After you finish, I have to ask you a question. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not far from the end, but the feeling of that being inside and outside at the same time, that's the oddness, and I think that is there is something about that that is highly, highly spiritual. The inside and outside at the same time. Go ahead.
Okay. Before you went in there, how was your emotion? How did you feel? How was your energy?
Oh, it was 20 years ago, and a very different Jeremy then. Hard to say, Olivia. Hard to say.
Were you a happy person? You were like, everything's like, no care of the world or something?
Oh, no, I'm quite a caring kind of guy.
I know you're a caring person, yeah. But I mean, no care, like, you didn't worry about things. I mean, that's what I mean by that.
At that point, I was quite, not particularly happy-go-lucky, let's put it that way.
Okay. And when you went inside, it felt amazing, like you said, like a cathedral, something,
yeah.
The energy.
And it did feel like I was kind of released from some of that stuff, too.
Okay. How about after you left, after several hours and a few days, how did you feel then?
Well, I was still doing a lot of meditation at that time and working with pyramids and crystals. So it was all kind of part and parcel of my life, really.
You didn't have headaches? You didn't?
Didn't have headaches. I'm not that.
You didn't feel a little bit nauseous or anything? You don't remember?
No. Like I said, it was a very fresh one. And I know that some of the crop circles, when they're after a few days, they get webbed in by the greys and all sorts of stuff. But
yes, that's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah,
but not just greys, it was other as well. That's what I wanted to ask, because I wanted to see if they were triggering you guys' emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was an awesome experience, I have to say, being in that crop circle. And I just sat there and meditated. And it was an awesome... like I say, when I say it's odd, it's just not usual. It wasn't an unpleasant odd. It wasn't a weird odd. It was, it's like new, like a fresh feeling.
Just something that you don't feel every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Extraordinary.
Good.
Feeling.
Was there a lot of people there, or is it just...
No, I was on my own.
Just you? Nobody else was there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're so lucky.
Yeah, I was very... I still consider myself very fortunate to have, like, almost discovered that. I didn't... You know, I was just driving down the road... on my way from Wiltshire or Glastonbury. I think I was going from Glastonbury to London. There I saw it in the field, and I just slammed on the anchors and found my way into the field very carefully. You have to be very respectful of people's land. And I just sat in it. And it was one of these very, very simple ones that was like the three circles interlocked, or something like that. It was, you know, very early on in the Circle Makers thing. Interesting little snippet that I got from Alex Collier, actually, about crop circles, which is something I wanted to share on the show last week. So can I just play that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I don't know if I can, actually. I've not clipped it out. That's why I didn't play it. I'll have to clip it out. But basically what he was saying... because I asked him, right? Okay, Alex. I have one question to ask Alex Collier. Right, so what's the question? So I asked him about crop circles and what are crop circles about? And his answer was extraordinary. It was a revelatory answer, which was that other races are dropping their frequencies onto the surface of the planet to give advanced notification of their arrival to the planet. They're a symbolic frequency that represents that particular star grouping. Does that match with what you say? With what your people say?
Yes, I do know what he's talking about, and yes, it's kind of in my words, the way I talk, simple. Everybody that came from certain locations, they're coming for you guys to, or they're getting ready, prepared for you to return, because there was this planet's, you know, there's been so many that came here just for this moment of this changes, and when they're ready to return, they're coming here to pretty much collect their own to go home.
Yeah.
And those would be considered the graduates. and pretty much everybody's graduated here too. Even you're living on this planet, you incarnate, you graduated. Shoot.
Right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's a different graduation, you know. So yes, he's pretty accurate on that. Yes.
Interesting. So it's been a very interesting, very kind of a sort of intimate feeling show. It's like a small group gathered around, small group of survivors. It really feels like, you know, group of survivors of the last week.
Oh, I hope everybody's okay. Should be, like I said, Wednesday after 11 days, should go back to normal.
Right. So after Wednesday, folks, things should be a little more. Eunice, right? Okay. Things should be a little more stable. At least, let's say, integrated into our daily existence. It's like too much new stuff at once can be a bit overwhelming, can't it?
Yeah, I'm being told to tell you this.
Okay, thank you.
That it could have could have what? No, the reason why it was extra, like than normal,
mm-hmm.
was because of that blue planet that came by. So it unbalanced things, you know.
Ah, gravity things.
So, yeah, so that was another planet coming through to go into that one hole, because they're still adding more planets and stars and more suns in there.
Wow. Oh, this is all very interesting. All very, very interesting.
And then at the same time, we had an eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And then another planetary shifting of alignment. So all that together in the past couple of weeks, that's really overwhelming. Don't you think so?
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, There's a feeling like I wish this would stop, but there's another thing is I really need this to play all the way through. You know, it's got to play its way out, because it's a program, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's got to finish. You know, you have to. You know, otherwise, you could get to 99% and it'll stop working, and then you have to start all over again. So the program has to run all the way through. So
just like a computer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, different.
I'd say listen to Three Little Birds by Bob Marley or any tune by Jimi Hendrix to get into that 432 hertz mood. We're needing it because it's activating to carbon. You know, regular music is built to wind you up, literally. And so it's very interesting to have this 432 confirmation here. And, you know, I'm running in tune with it as well. So it's beautiful. Olivia, it's beautiful to have you. And thank you for coming on. Do you have a blog site? Which is where?
No, just the Woodland Wolf Spirit Radio, that's it.
Yeah, that's the one.
I'm on Facebook, but I don't go in there too much. I really don't. I'm very private.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I mean, they give me a bunch of information to put out there, but I'm just too lazy. And they get mad and they have to give it to somebody else.
All right. Well, you know, you've always got a soapbox here in our little rickety place, going across the galaxy, across the universe. And thank you very much for joining us on Ever Beyond. And do join us on Tuesday. Have I got anybody on Tuesday? Let me just check on Journeys with JP. I haven't. So who knows what's going to happen on Tuesday with Journeys with JP at 12 p.m. PST. So thank you very much for joining us, and we'll be back next week. Beyond.